Mark chapter 9, if you got your Bibles, let's look at Mark chapter 9 for a few minutes. It be the Lord's will. Mark chapter 9. One morning this week, about 4 in the morning, it was one of them mornings I couldn't sleep. Been tossing and turning all night long. Been praying about things and praying for the church and the needs of the church and different things going on. And I just asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I need something. I'd fall back off to sleep and he'd wake me up about 10 minutes later. And this thought came to my mind here in Mark chapter 9. Got me all stirred up about 4:30 in the morning. I mean, I was stirred up. I wanted to go and wake everybody up. Tell them how good God was and is and can be. And I tell you, he loves us this morning. We ain't even worthy. Ain't a one of you and ain't even me. I ain't even worthy to be in this house today. I ain't even worthy to stand behind this sacred desk and brag on his lovely name. But I'm glad for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that made all of us worthy to be here today to lift praises unto him and bless his name this morning. Why? Because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of anything we can do for him. Or we could sing a song, if we could give a testimony, if we could raise our hand. We just say amen. He's worthy this morning. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And it ain't about me and it ain't about you. It ain't about a title. It ain't about this church. It's all about him, amen. That's who it's about. We need to exhort him this morning and lift him up because he's worthy of it today. You got your place. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I want to read you a few scriptures here in Mark chapter 9, breaking in at the 14th verse. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they heard him, were greatly amazed, running to him to salute him, which means to greet him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples, and they could cast out that they could not. They came to his disciples. Now, deacons and Christians and preachers, let's listen this morning. This is going to help you if you'll listen today. We need to be in a place where God can use us in our life. Okay? And that's what's going on here. And he said, and they pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples, and they should have cast him out, and they could not. Verse 19, he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion. Have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou couldest believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And this is my text today. And straightway when the father of the child cried out, saying with tears, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Let us pray. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I can't preach this morning. I'm of stumbling words, Lord, and I, Lord, am a weak vessel. But God, I know that you can bring the word this morning through your man. Hide us behind the shadow of the cross. Lord, we need something from heaven today. Many here, Lord, that are lost without you, maybe discouraged. Lord, maybe the devil's rode them all week. And Lord, this may be the last time. They feel like I just want to quit. Lord, I pray through this message today that you'll encourage people, save people, draw people to you, Lord, like you never have before. Feed us, Lord, feed us today from heaven's oven. Feed us good, Lord. We'll love you and we'll praise you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter, Jesus is transformed before two of his disciples on the mountain. And when he comes off the mountain, he performs a great miracle before the people. And he's doing many wonderful things here before the people. And here this multitude has come to Jesus. And one person specifically has heard about what Jesus can do. And you know, you may have a lot going on in your life. And there may be a lot of things that's happened to you in the last little bit. And maybe even your faith has been tried. Maybe even the very question has come upon your mind. I don't even know if I even really believe. Where is God in all that's going on in my life? My children are sick. I've got this problem going on. And I've got bad health. And all this stuff is going on. But where is God in all of this? No doubt this man may have felt the same way. His son had been sick a long time, and he wanted to see his son healed. When our children get sick, we want to see them get healed. We want them back the way they normally was, running and playing and laughing and filling the house with joy. That's what we want when our children are about us, and we want to see God's hand upon them, blessing their life and helping them. Can I hear from you this morning? That's what we want for our children. But here comes a father that his son has been in this shape since he's been a young man. He's got an evil spirit in him, and that evil spirit is taking him over, and he's thrown himself into the fire and thrown himself into the water, and he's in an awful, awful shape, and he's heard about what Jesus can do and who he is and what he's all about, and he thought, I've got to go see this man that can heal the blind, can raise the dead. I've got to go get my son to this man. Could you just imagine the desperate time in this man's heart wanting to get his child to the man of God, to the Son of God, and see him heal before the people? I wonder what you would do if that was your son. Would you bring him to church? Would you ask the church to pray? Would you seek God in your life to do a great wonder in his life and a great healing in his life? What would you believe? This day and time, you can believe anything you want to believe. They believe anything today. They'll believe anything but the truth. I'm telling you, this world believes everything but the truth. They'll stand for anything but what's right. I never seen a time that the time that we live in. I still believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I believe he is the inherent word of God that we've got in our lap. This is Jesus Christ right here in the form of a book. That's what I believe. I believe he wrote every word of it. I believe it's perfect from cover to cover. I believe he was born of a virgin birth. I believe he lived in this life 33 and a half years. I believe he walked and done everything that the scriptures teaches. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that one day he gave his life on the cross of Calvary so I could have a ride back to God, amen, that I was separated from. Why? Because of sin. I believe that today. I also believe that on that third third morning, he got up from the dead and he went back, amen, and he's made a way for you and I. I believe that today. I believe that he is the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. He is the one that we're going to have to trust in. I believe it today. I want to preach a message today. I believe, amen, I believe. What do you believe today? What do you believe today? I'll challenge you that today. I really would like to know what you believe today. Do you believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God and He is able to do anything that we ask Him? I believe He's able today. He was able to save you from a devil's hell. He's able to save you today if you're here lost without God. He's able to save you today from this awful place. To believe is to accept the truth. And by accepting the truth is to have faith. You can't come to God without faith. I know a man one time in my life that he had gotten saved and he got in the Word of God and began to read the Word of God and he was doing real good until he started trying to figure it all out. And I just can't figure out why is this way and why is that this way. The next thing I know, he was driving himself crazy trying to figure out the Word of God. I'm telling you today, if you're trying to figure it out, you'll never figure it out. You have to come to Him by faith, trust Him by faith, and read by faith, and let Him reveal it to you by faith. That's the only way you'll understand the Word of God. So number one today, I believe in desperate faith. We need to have desperate faith. In verse 15, 16, and 17, the Bible says, "And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were gathered amazed and running to him and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." He's desperate. He's got into a place in his life that he's desperate. Now he's got desperate faith. He's running to Jesus and he's desperate. Over in Psalms 34, verse 6, the Bible says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Amen. He got desperate, and what did he do when he got desperate? He cried out, "God, help me." This poor man cried. He cried out. You got to get desperate if you're going to hear from God. If you're going to believe something, you need to get desperate this morning if you want to hear from God. Did you all realize there's no private interpretations given to the Scriptures? The Lord will reveal to you what He wants you to know. Amen. He just don't give me something and don't give you nothing. If you'll apply yourself to God's Word, He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." He can reveal these things to you, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to commit your life to Him. You're going to have to sell out and give everything you got to God if you're going to have a walk with the Lord. Amen. Two of you amen me on that. Can I take a right step here for just a minute? We need to have a sale here. I'm fixing to preach a message here in a week or so. God's been dealing with me on for a year and a half. And I'm going to give you the title of it. It's called Junk Sale. We need to have a junk sale here. I said we need to have a junk sale here. And when you go downtown to eat somewhere, and I don't care where you go eat, we can represent God anywhere we go. We can live right anywhere we go. Y'all not going there and sit down, get ready to eat, start eating, look around, see if a preacher's coming in before I order my drinks and things that I'm going to do. Because I believe if you're truly born again, you'll abstain from the very appearance of evil. No matter what it is. No matter what is put in front of you. One of the biggest evils we got right now is these cell phones. I can use them for ministry, and I can use them to lift up the ministry and put out good messages and give scripture and encourage people. But I'll tell you what, the whole time that I'm trying to do it, the devil's throwing his puke right in on top of it. That's what I like to call it, the devil's puke. I might have to preach a message titled that. You never know. But that's the devil. He's constantly throwing stuff in front of us. But you don't have to lap it up. What do you believe this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is number one in your life? He ought to be. Come up here, honey. This lady right here is number two in my life. Number two. She has never been number one, and she never will be number one. She is number two in my life. You know who number one is? Him. And if you used to ask her, she'll tell you the same thing. I'm number two in her life, not number one. When we come together and the Lord brought us together, that's what we agreed upon, to make Him number one in our life. And we walk with Him and we talk with Him and we seek Him first. I seek Him for her needs. She seeks Him for my needs. And we pray and ask God, and God uses us in that way. And you know why we do that? Because we believe. Amen? You know why we've been married 30 years? Because we believed. We believed in trusting Him and putting Him first in our life. Now, Emily, come here. She loves this. Stand over here. Guess who's what number she is? Number three. She can't be number two. That spot's already taken. She's number three in my life. And because I believe, I pray and ask God to help her and help her and help me be a help to them. Why? Because we believe. Amen. We were married 30 years. We was married 13 years before she came along. The doctor said, there's no way you'll ever have a child. Right there she stands. I like when the doctor says no, God says, watch this. Watch what if you'll believe me, I'll do a great miracle in your life. Amen. And I'm glad me and her went to an old-fashioned altar, got down on our face and said, God, if it be your will, I pray that you'll bless us with a child that'll carry on the ministry, carry on our heritage. And right there she stands. If you don't believe God has a blessing, look at it standing right there. That is a blessing of God. Amen. Standing before you this morning, church, I'm a blessed man. Y'all can sit down. But if God saw fit, heaven forbid, and they were gone tomorrow, I would try my best to have and say what Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Many of you all have buried companions and children and different things have happened in your life, but God still loves you. God's still real. God has a purpose for all things. Everything that you suffered, God has a need for it and a will for it. You've got to be that vessel and say, Lord, I believe. I'm in desperate faith, Lord. This poor man cried, Lord. I'm just going to trust you. I don't understand what's going on. I'm desperate, Lord, but I'm just going to trust you. That's what you got to do. I heard a preacher preaching a message this week, and he was talking about that very thing, about desperate faith. And he was talking about Job being in that place of desperate, and his seven sons had died. And the Bible talks about that he went back, and they found him in the ashes. He was down there putting ashes on himself and getting all in those ashes, and he was broken because he had lost his sons and all these things that happened. I'm talking about a man that loved God. Here he is in the awfulest place, and he's desperate, and they went to him. And he went back to the place, and this is what I got out of that message. He went back to the ashes where the fire had once been. He wanted to get where the fire had once been. I'm going to go back where God has moved in my life, and I want to get to where He's moving again. And if it has to be an ash heap, I'm going to get down in that, and I'm going to spread it over me because I'm desperate to feel God in my life. I'm desperate, Lord, to hear from you. Why, Lord? Because I believe that you're going to bring me out. Do you believe that this morning? God can bring you out this morning of that mess that you're in. I don't know what you're going through. Ain't nobody told me nothing. That's the Lord's told me. If you're going to get out of what you're in, you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to trust God this morning if He's going to bring you out. Job was desperate. He went back just to try to get a hold of something that could help him. In Mark 10:47, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." I'm talking about blind Bartimaeus. He was desperate. This man was blind. He heard Jesus was coming. He was desperate. No doubt they hollered, "Shh, be quiet. Here he comes. Shh." And when he found out Jesus was getting near, he started crying out, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." No doubt they're probably saying, "Shh." That's the world, ain't it? They're trying to muzzle us. Church, I'm telling you, Christians, the world is trying to muzzle God's people. In these last days when we preach and we stand and preach these kind of messages and we claim to love Jesus Christ and stand for Him, it's called hate speech. And we're haters and we're throwing people down and we're against everybody. But they don't realize we're preaching love. We're for people. We want people to come. We want to love on them. We want them to get saved and get right with God. It's what we want this morning. And I do all that because I believe. So not only do you have to have desperate faith, number two, you have to have trying faith. Your faith is going to get tried. Christians, I'm telling you this morning, if you ain't never been through a battle, hang on, it's about to come. I don't want one. Well, it may come. When it comes, I'm glad he said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll go all the way with you, even down to the end." Mother and daddy may forsake you, but the Lord will never forsake you. Brothers and sisters will turn against you. Own church people will turn against you. Some of the most vicious people I've ever met in my life are church people. I think about five of you has been through that. Hang on, you'll find out what that's like. What I've found out is those that come up to you and say, "Oh, Brother Greg, man, I love you, brother. How good." They might as well have a knife doing this to you. You better watch those that pat you on the back so good. Those are the ones going to get you. And that's awful to say, but that's the devil at work. I love to exhort people and tell you I love you, but when I tell you, I mean it. I mean it. And I'm not out to get you. But you know what the devil could do? He could use me. If I'm not real careful, he can use me. And he can turn my mind. I'm telling you, church, he can use you this morning. You don't think he can't, he will. About the time you least expect it, he'll show up at your house. You better find out what you believe. In verse 21, 22, and 23, "And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came upon him?'" He asked him that question. "And he said, 'Of a child, and oft times he has cast himself into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if thou couldest,' he said, 'do anything, would you have compassion upon us?' And Jesus said unto him, 'All things are possible to him that believeth.'" I'm telling you all this morning, anything's possible if you'll trust God. If you'll trust him with your whole heart and say, "I don't know how this is going to work out, but God, you tell me in 1 Peter 5 and 7 that if I'll cast all of my cares upon you, that you care for me, you'll take care of it. So God, I'm going to bring it to the altar." You need to get out of your seat and bring it to the altar. Come right up here and say, "Lord, here it is. I'm going to lay it down right here, Lord, and I'm going to give it to you right now in the name of Jesus. I lay it down. I'm not carrying it no more. My faith has been tried. Lord, I'm desperate. I'm giving it to you right now." And walk away. And leave it on the altar. But you know what? We come up here and we shed tears and we want God to move and we'll say we're giving it to God, but we might leave some of it. But I'll tell you what, I think I can take care about maybe that much of it. I'm going to take this back with me and I'm going to keep this much of it. That's why your prayers are not being answered. You're not surrendering at all. You're trying to hold on to just a little bit of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just holding on to a little bit. God don't want you to hold on to it. He wants you to surrender it. All of it. Your faith has been tried. He's wanting to find out if you'll give up and let him be God in your life. And it's going to take a surrendering to do that. So while your faith's being tried, why don't you just lay it down and let God have it? Let him have it. In James 1:3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You ain't seen what's about to happen if you'll have faith. If you'll just trust and believe. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We've got to trust and obey. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. I'm talking about trying faith now. Your faith being tried. What are you going to do when that happens? Number three, not only do you have trying faith, but you need to have complete faith. Complete. That's what I'm talking about, complete. Not a little bit, but all of it. Not, Lord, I'll try a little bit. Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. Lord, I surrender it. I give it. God, here it is. I'm done. Take this, use this. I'm done, Lord. Here it is. In verse 24, he said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody ever felt that way? I feel that way quite often. I say, Lord, help my unbelief that I may understand what you're wanting in my life. Lord, as I pastor this church, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know what to do, God, but I'm just trying to follow you. Lord, help me. Send me the people. Help me guide them. Help them help me, God. Let us work together to love you. I'm talking about complete faith. When nothing makes sense and everybody else is telling you, well, you had a bunch of trouble yet? Has trouble showed up yet? Has things got bad yet? Is people leaving yet? What's happening yet? You would not believe how many people say that to me every week. How y'all doing? Well, we're doing good. God's blessing. I can't complain. He's filling the house up. Your trouble ain't showed up yet? I mean, that's just like a kick in the gut. Am I supposed to be looking for trouble? Oh, yeah, it's going to come. It's going to get bad. You devil send them in. Tire the church up. You know, time I get done talking to somebody like it, I feel like this. Okay. So you know what I'd start doing right then? I start rebuking. I start going to the Lord. I start saying, God, I know you're able. You're going to move in people's life. I'm not listening. I'm not accepting God. I know you're able. And that's how I pray. And you should reject that negativity too. You shouldn't get that in your life. You should rebuke the devil and get him out of your life. If somebody in your life is that negative, get away from them. You don't need them in your life. Well, maybe it's my mother, maybe it's my daddy, maybe it's my sister and my brother. Well, you need to tell them, you need to have a little talk with Jesus and get some complete faith in your life. God is doing a great thing at the church. Pray for us that the devil don't show up. I talk to my deacons every week. We talk about circumstances and situations that's going on. People's asking them the same question. Any trouble showed up yet? No, we had one saved last week. Well, that's good, but any trouble showed up yet? They don't want to hear nothing good. They want to find out all the bad stuff that's going on. They love negativity. That's the devil. If the Lord is blessing the church over the hill down there and they're having to build on because he's blessed them and they're growing so much that they can't seat everybody, praise the Lord. I'm glad for them. I'm going to be praying for them. I'm going to tell that pastor, man, I appreciate what you're doing for God. I'm not going to say, is the trouble showed up yet? The troubles are coming. Better get ready. You ain't going to be happy all the time. When people start that stuff, you need to get away from it. Be positive in your life. Trust the Lord and have complete faith. I just want to remind the Lord this morning. I'm done. But I want to ask you something. Through all your desperate faith, your trying faith, have you ever really had complete faith? I've seen people on the altars in the last couple weeks. They've come and surrendered and said, I just want to give it all to God. I just want God's blessings upon my life. And God's blessing their life because of it. This altar's not about nobody in this church. It's about you. You should not worry about anybody in this church but you. In the next few moments, this is all about you and Him. What do you believe this morning? Do you believe that God can really bless your life? Or do you want to take the misery that you're in and take it right back out the door with you? He's wanting you to surrender all this morning. But you can leave the same way you came. As miserable as you are, you can leave that same way. The devil will even heap it up on you as you go out. He'll give you a little more to carry this upcoming week. But if you're tired and you're desperate, like this man was with his son, he ran to Jesus and cried out. He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm having such a hard time. You don't know what I've been through with my son. Lord, I want to believe, and I believe you can. Please help us, have compassion." He was crying out. How about you this morning? Have you got to that place yet that you're desperate enough to trust God totally with your life? As a man of God, I can't do anything but that. I make as many enemies as I do friends. You say, really? Absolutely. When you stand on God's word completely, you'll make some enemies. Do I want them? I don't want them. I want to get along with everybody. But I ain't compromising the word for my wife. I said I'm not compromising the word for my wife, my daughter, or anybody else. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm glad that they've never asked me to compromise it. They've stood with me and stood for me. And we've stood together and sung and preached the gospel. God's used us in a mighty way. How's that happened? We just have to trust Him by faith that He's going to do the work. And you've got to do the same thing with your family and your personal life as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.